Do's and don'ts. Everywhere you turn, there are a list of do's and don'ts. These are the things you're supposed to do. These are the things that you're not supposed to do. If you search on the internet, just search do's and don'ts. A whole bunch of different lists comes up. These are the do's and don'ts of gardening. If you want to have a good garden, this is what you do. If you want to have a good garden, these are the things that you don't do. There are do's and don'ts of when you have a baby, what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to pick the baby up by palming its head like this. You're not supposed to do that. Okay, that's a don't when it comes to dealing with your children. There are do's and don'ts about marriage. There are do's and don'ts about all different types of relationships. There are do's and don'ts about job interviews. How you're supposed to handle job interviews and what you're not supposed to do in job interviews. The do's of job interviews. Dress appropriately for the industry. Know the exact time and location of your interview. Know how long it takes to get there. Know how long it takes to park. Be on time. Arrive 10 minutes early. Treat everyone you encounter with courtesy and respect. You never know how that person's going to impact the hiring decision. So there's a whole bunch of people that a whole bunch of things you're supposed to do while you're being interviewed. And there are a whole bunch of don'ts. Don't make excuses. Don't talk bad about previous bosses. Don't lie. Those are all things you're not supposed to do while you're being interviewed. Now, theoretically, the way this is supposed to work is you do the things you're supposed to do, and you don't do the things you're not supposed to do, and that makes you pretty safe. Right? If you treat your children the way you're supposed to, and you don't do the don'ts, chances are you're going to have a good family. If you treat your wife the way you're supposed to, and you don't do the things on the list that are the don'ts, then chances are you have a pretty good life, pretty good marriage. So these lists of do's and don'ts are there for our benefits, right? Now, a lot of times you look at these and you say, well, that's just common sense. And a lot of the do's and don'ts list are just common sense. We really shouldn't have to have a list for those things, but we do. In the Sermon on the Mount, I think Jesus is giving us a lot of do's and don'ts. And unfortunately, some of these do's and don'ts might not need to be there or should not need to be there, but they did at the time. And they do to us as well, because sometimes, although we know, we forget, we have to be reminded of the do's and the don'ts. Already, Jesus has talked about when you fast, do it this way, don't do it this way. Right? A do and don't. When you give, do it this way, don't do it this way. When you pray, do it this way, don't do it this way. And our section of scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, it starts in chapter 6, around verse 19, and goes through the end of the chapter. What we have in this context is we have two don'ts, two do's, and a can't. And that's our 3 points that we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to look at the two don'ts, the two do's, and the one can't. And hopefully, if we keep our minds straight, if we go through our life doing the do's and not doing the don'ts, everything should work out the way that it should work out, the way that we're happy, the way that God wants it to work out for us. I'm so glad everybody's here today. When we assemble together, do you realize we do some do's and we don't do some don'ts, right? We're told to come together. Some of the things that we do, we sing together. We pray together. We remember the Lord's Supper together. We hear a message from God's Word together. Those are the do's that God wants us to do. And there's a whole bunch of don'ts that we don't do. Some because God specifically tells us not to. Others simply because they're not on the do list. And if they're not on the do list, then they're automatically on the don't list. So we're glad that we're all here together to look at God's Word and find out what God would have us do to live our life. If we don't do the don'ts, and we do the do's, and we remember the can't, life is going to be much easier. So let's go ahead and begin our lesson together this morning. The two don'ts. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So our first don't that Jesus gives us in this context is don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Now he gives us reasons why we should not do this. He tells us why this should be on the don't list. One of the major reasons is that the things on this earth are temporary. He says, moths, rust destroying, and where thieves break in and steal. So don't waste your time, don't spend your effort, don't spend your energies storing up treasures on earth. Those things are temporary things. A second reason why we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth is because, now understand the way Jesus phrases this, we put our hearts where our treasure is. The way Jesus says it is, our heart follows our treasure. Our treasure doesn't follow our heart. Now, that's probably true as well. It's probably a cyclical thing. But I'm very impressed with the way Jesus states this. Because if you want to put your heart in the right place, the first step that you need to do in order to put your heart in the right place is to put your treasure in the right place first. And if you're putting your treasure on this earth, your heart's going to follow that treasure. If I had three boxes up here, and a box over there, and a box here, and a box here, and I told everybody this morning, everybody bring the most precious possession you have other than your children, and we'll put it in one of these boxes. So whatever that is, a trophy that you have, or a sentimental gift that somebody gave you, the most important possession that you have, and we put it in one of those three boxes. And then I said, okay, I'm going to shuffle these boxes up. And if you know which box your treasure's in, you can have it. But if you don't know which box your treasure's in, I get it. And I started taking these boxes and I started moving them back and forth all over the place. How closely attached would your eyes and your mind and your heart be to the box that your treasure was in? You wouldn't take your eyes off of it, would you? It would be, and you would know where it is, because where your treasure is, that's where your attention is. That's where your focus is. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. That's why you don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because if you do, you're going to get distracted. You're going to spend your whole time on things that really don't matter. So do not lay up for yourself treasures on this earth. Now, Jesus gives many examples in the Bible of people who have done this. One is this rich guy who had all kinds of great crops one year, and he had all kinds of things, and he decided he was going to take his ease for a while. Look what he says here. I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus gives us this example of one who laid up treasures on earth instead of putting his treasure in heaven. And he says, you're foolish. You're a fool. You're going to die tonight. And what are all these things going to be? And the what comes next is who you're going to give your account to. When you die, who are you going to go before? You can't take any of this stuff with you. You can't buy your way into heaven with physical possessions. So you're foolish in spending all your time and energies on this. The rich young ruler is another example of this. He comes to Jesus. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gives him a list of commands. He says, I've done all of those commands since I was a child. What do I lack? Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The guy went away sorrowful. Why? Because his heart followed his treasure. His treasure was on this earth, therefore his heart was on this earth, and he could not follow after Jesus. Simon the sorcerer thought he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit and use it for his benefit here. And he was rebuked in terms that you and I would just be appalled at if somebody talked to us this way. But he had the desired respect. He says, you pray for me that these awful things do not happen to me. So that's the first reason why we don't lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, is because things on this earth are temporary. That's our first don't. And then also where our heart follows our treasure. Well, here's the second one, a second don't. In verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he goes on to look at many examples that were already read for us this morning. and how God takes care of those type of things. And in verse 31, it comes down, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows about... therefore your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So the second don't is do not worry about earthly things. And he gives, as he's talking about this, he tells you why you shouldn't worry about earthly things. First of all, we do not worry about earthly things because spiritual things are more important. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Aren't there more important things to worry about than what happens in this life? That's why we shouldn't worry about the earthly things. Another reason why he tells us we should not worry about earthly things is because God has already promised us that he's going to take care of our physical needs. God's going to take care of your physical needs. Why are you worrying about those things? Now, I will say this. Let me step back just for a second. The first thing that God, Jesus, tells us not to do is he says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. What happens to people a lot of times when they don't have a lot of treasures on earth? What's the temptation? The temptation is to worry, right? I don't think it's any mistake why Jesus comes back and deals with worry second. Because if you don't have a lot of earthly possessions, sometimes our mind is, our earthly tendency is, our humanistic way of looking at things is to worry that we don't have a lot of stuff. A lot of things that we can count on to carry us through. And so we start worrying. And Jesus says, well, don't worry. Don't lay up treasures on earth and don't worry about it, is what Jesus is saying. We are not to worry about earthly things because they're going to be destroyed. Grass goes in the fire, right? Today is. Tomorrow it is no more. That's part of the reading there. We're not to worry about earthly things because everything will work out if we focus on the spiritual things. I think Alice sent some emails out earlier this week or last week. They had little cartoons on there. And one of the cartoons was two birds looking in the window. And this man is in there, he's like, debt and job and all these worries that he has. And the two birds are talking to each other saying, I guess God doesn't take care of them like he takes care of us. And it shows the point that the birds, just think of the birds would look at, if they had a mind to reason, and they would look at people. And they would look at how people live their lives. And they would scratch their heads thinking, why in the world are those people so nuts worrying about everything? We don't worry, and God takes care of us. And these people are more important than God. The birds might think, hey, we must be more important than they are because God doesn't take care of them based on the way they live, and he takes care of us. Now, we are not to worry about tomorrow's earthly things because there's enough to take care of today. Do what you can in the day that you have. And don't worry about tomorrow or the next day or the next day or next year. And I don't think there's... Jesus said in the prayer, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Now we have a saying in our country, our society. It may be in every society, I don't know. We call it living paycheck to paycheck. Now we view that as a terrible thing, right? And we would then choose to do that. There might be some, you know, if we don't have to do that, it's okay. But you realize that most people in the world live paycheck to paycheck? Do you realize that most people in the history of the world have lived paycheck to paycheck? Do you realize this passage is talking about living paycheck to paycheck? And he's saying it's okay. It's okay to live paycheck to paycheck. Because I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that next paycheck comes as long as you're doing the right thing. I'll make sure everything will work out. I do it for the birds. I do it for the lily of the fields. I'm going to do it for you. Have faith and live paycheck to paycheck. Well, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us about this thing, everything being destroyed. But the day of the Lord will come as the thief of the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Once we realize that our physical possessions are temporary, it changes the way that we think about things, and the way that we act. If you think this life is all there is and physical possessions is that's all that life is about, you're going to live differently. You're going to think differently than what God wants you to think. It's a don't. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We combat worry through prayer. So we have our two don'ts. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth and don't worry. Well, here are our two do's. Matthew 6 and verse 20. "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Our first one is to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That's all that really matters in life. Our spiritual goals, our spiritual destiny. We're going to be in heaven a lot longer than we're ever going to be in this earth. And that's where our treasure should be. And if we put our treasure up there in heaven, what's going to automatically follow that? Our heart. And that is what God expects from us. Jesus is telling us some very simple things that will have profound effects on our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now listen, what's in heaven for us? "To an inheritance incorruptible." Jesus says, things on this earth, moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Peter says, "An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." Now I just cannot help but think, as Peter is being guided by the Holy Spirit and he's writing these words, do you think his mind goes back to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount? I think it has to. He has to remember the words that Jesus spoke about laying up for yourselves treasures on earth compared to laying up for yourselves treasures on heaven. He has to be going through and said, "Yeah, Jesus, I remember Jesus saying that. Jesus said that thieves break in and steal and moth and rust destroy." And as he's writing these words, those words of Jesus have to come back to him. Our heavenly treasures are reserved and kept by the power of God. They are protected by God. See those signs, "This house protected by ADT"? I don't know if I have any money in my pocket. I have a few dollars in my pocket, but that's about all I would pay for the value of that sign saying protected by ADT. But what if your everything that you have, all every spiritual possession that you have, you can take comfort in knowing that God protects it? If God protects it, who's going to do anything bad to it? No one. It's protected there for God. It's reserved for you. It's being protected by God himself. Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth." He clearly states, Paul does, that we are to set our minds in heaven. Now, I want to ask you this question. Think about this. I mean, what we say about this sermon? Is this a challenging sermon? Was it challenging to them? Is this sermon challenging to us? It should be. And if it's not challenging to us, it's my fault in the way I'm presenting it, because this is very, very challenging stuff. What's your focus in life? How much time do you spend with your mind in heaven? Can you truly say, characteristic of your mind, your life, who you are, is that you seek things that are in heaven? Does God look down on you and say, "That person's mind is set up here with us"? Now, brothers and sisters, this is a huge challenge because we're bombarded every day with earthly things, right? Paul says that we're not to be entangled with the affairs of the everyday life. Any soldier who has signed up does not entangle themselves. Why does he have to say that? Because it's easy to do, isn't it? I mean, is it easy for you to get your mind set on things of the earth and forget about things of heaven? It is for me. I'm assuming it is for the rest of you too. You get every day. As a matter of fact, I'm so sure of it. That's what Jesus says when he's talking about the soils, right? When he talks about how the cares and the deceitfulness of riches choke us out so that we produce no fruit. We grow, but we produce no fruit because we are sidetracked with the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world. It takes an unusual individual. It takes faith. It takes prayer. It takes the help of other people to make sure our minds is up there in heaven and our focus is in heaven and our focus is not down here on this earth. Because tomorrow, you're going to get up. You're going to go to work. You're going to spend 8 to 10 hours at work. Your mind's going to be focused on those things. You're going to come home. You're going to be tired. You're going to maybe watch a baseball game. A World Series game, maybe have dinner, spend a few minutes talking. How much of that day tomorrow are you going to spend with your mind focused in heaven? How much time did you spend this past week? Was your mind in heaven? Or was your mind on earth? Now we have to do earthly things because we're here. But where's your mind? This is one of the most challenging things, I think, that Jesus says in this sermon, is keeping your mind in the right place. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us an example of a man who did this. The man is Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the riches of Christ, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. What's that? His mind was set in heaven. His mind was set on spiritual things. His mind was set with God. Moses chose eternal riches over temporary riches. Now, it's a no-brainer when you stop and think about it, but we live contrary to that a lot if we're not careful. Paul is another example of one who chose the eternal over the temporary. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. In labors more abundance, and stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine getting beaten on 5 different occasions, 39 lashes? For your belief in Jesus as the Christ, where would your mind have to be able to tolerate that? To be able to endure that? Where would your mind have to be? If it's on earth, you're not going to make it. If it's in heaven, you're going to be able to endure it. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I can't imagine. Can you imagine as a grown man right now taking you, strapping you down? A group of grown men and beating you with rods? Because you follow after Jesus, where would your mind have to be in order to be successful? It has to be in heaven. Once I was stoned. People threw rocks at me, trying to kill me. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of my false brethren, in weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that what come upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Woo! How do you compare to that? How do you compare to that? Where would your mind have to be able to do this? Are you worn out for Christ? At the end of the day, have you ever thought, I'm worn out for Christ today? At the end of the week, have you ever thought, man, I have just spent myself for the Lord this week. all my energies and time and talent, I've just spent it, and I need to go rest because I'm worn out for the Lord. When was the last time you were worn out for the Lord? Challenging, challenging, challenging words. And the only reason I'm bringing these challenges to you, brothers and sisters, is because they're challenging words to me, and they come from Jesus Christ. Paul was willing to suffer in order for his spiritual bank account to be full. And 2 Peter chapter 3 talks a lot about suffering. We've already alluded to that verse earlier. Well, what's the other do? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the second do is seek first the kingdom of God and the physical possessions that you're not supposed to worry about anyway because they're temporary. All those things are going to be given to you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in the preceding months because the last quarter of the year, we are focusing on getting our priorities in order. This work-life balance. And so the sermon is sort of here at this point for this reason, leading us into our focus on this third quarter of making sure our priorities are right and they are correct from God's perspective. But Esther was one who put God's kingdom above her own life. Examine your life this week. I want everybody to do this because this is what we're going to be figuring out how we can get better. Where are your priorities? What do you do every day? How much of that is focused on spiritual things and how much of that stuff is focused on physical things? And you'll be able to determine where your priorities are. All right, then we have the one can't. Two don'ts, two do's, and one can't. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The basis for the two don'ts and the two do's is the one can't. If you get the one can't down, the two don'ts and the two do's are just going to make sense. The can't is you can't serve God and the devil. It is an impossibility. You cannot obey your parents and disobey them at the same time. The same action. You can't do it. You can't love me and hate me at the same time. Now, you might love me sometimes and hate me other times, but you can't love me and hate me at the same time. It just doesn't happen. You cannot. It's an impossibility. It can. If Jesus says it's impossible, there's no way to think of a way around it. You can't do it. You cannot serve both masters. You just cannot serve two masters. Luke chapter 9 gives us some examples of people who want to try it. Now what happened is they journeyed down the road and someone said, Lord, I will follow you. I'll serve you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to those who are in my house. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, proper priorities are definitely uncommon in this world. And sometimes they're uncommon even among God's people. It is very easy to replace the most important things with the most urgent things. There's a difference between what's important and what's urgent. Sometimes we get caught up with urgent things, things that we think have to be done right now. And our Bible study, our spiritual works just get pushed off to tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, we do the same thing. And they get pushed off. The next day comes. Same things happen. Who do you think's in charge of that junk? Who do you think is trying to get you so preoccupied with the things of the earth you don't have time for spiritual things? It's one of your two choices for who your master is. It's the devil. And every day he makes his case. Hey, He doesn't say, hey, I want you to serve me today. I want you to be my slave today. Will you be my slave today? He says, hey, there's a whole bunch of stuff you need to be getting done today. You got to focus on it. And then he's going to throw problems in there. And he's going to throw obstacles in your way. And if you're not careful, you're going to fall for them and fall for them and fall for them and fall for them. And the days are going to pile up into weeks. The weeks are going to pile up into months. The months to years. The years to a lifetime where we look back and say, I wasted my life on things that are temporary. And I have not stored up for myself treasures in heaven. Romans 6, Paul puts it this way. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So Paul says we're either slaves of sin or we are slaves of obedience. Sin leads to what? Death. Obedience leads to life. A no-brainer choice, right? And if it were that simple, we'd all do it. But the devil is there working every single day trying to get us to mess up, forget the important things. Now, what I want this passage to do, and what I want guys like Moses to do, and guys like Paul to do for us, is I want you to know that we can please God. This is doable. There's no reason to throw our hands up in there and say, well, I just can't do what God wants me to do. You can do it. We can do it. We can please God. You can put your treasures in heaven. It's just going to take effort. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen because you just go about your life. You have to choose every day whom you're going to serve. And we need to wake up in the morning with that mindset. Today we are going to serve God. We're going to be a slave of someone today. Whose slave are you going to be? God's or the devil's? God says, I'm giving you an option. You can be my servant. I have great things in store for you. Jesus said, it's not very difficult sometimes. It's my burden's easy. You can do this. And that's what I want to leave with you guys. Guys, we can have the proper priorities. But it's going to take decisions. It's going to happen because we choose to do it. Not because we accidentally fall into the right priorities. Nobody accidentally stumbles across the correct priorities. You have to search for them, you have to find them, you have to establish them, and you have to make sure that you're going to follow those things daily. They don't happen by accident. Well, if you were given the choice to serve the devil or to serve God, what would you choose? You would all choose to serve God, right? And I think you do. I think you choose that daily, hopefully. But there might be some people here today who've never made that choice. You know you need to. You know you need to serve the Lord. You know you need to be baptized to get rid of all of your sins. But you're just not wanting to do that yet. Or you wanting to put that off. That's the devil speaking. I'm just telling you straight out. The devil talks to you every day. And that's what he's saying to you. So what you're choosing to do is you're choosing to be a slave of the devil instead of being a slave of God. You can get rid of all that today. You can make your allegiance to God by doing what he wants you to do. Maybe you're a Christian. Have been living right. You're looking at your life. You're saying, boy, if somebody were to look down at my life right now, they would think that my priorities were all whack. They would think that I am more focused on what happens to me and my things here on this earth than what's going to happen to me when I die. Well, you need to make some changes. Some of those changes might be private. Some of those changes might need to be public. But everyone needs to make the commitment that we are going to serve and follow God. And make that commitment right now as we stand and sing.